Cloudy with a high in the low 50s. Tomorrow night, mostly cloudy with a low in the low 40s.
From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 1 p.m.
Now, Recording Library of West Texas Radio kicks off a weekend of audio-described iconic movies. Stay tuned as next we bring you 101 Dalmatians, followed at around 2:25 with The Wizard of Oz, then around 4:05, Raiders of the Lost Ark, and finally, about 5:55 p.m. this afternoon, The Godfather.
In animation, light gray spots appear on a textured gray background. A black dot draws an outline of a dog. Other black dots draw more dogs and puppies. The dots explode across the dogs, giving them all black spots, ears, and noses. Our view pulls back to show dozens of Dalmatians. A title appears in red letters, 101 Dalmatians. Sitting alone, a Dalmatian wearing a collar wags its tail. We zoom in on one of its spots.
Time zero.
Spots decorate a white background as credits appear.
Watch 101 Dalmatians for movie Disney. Resume 30 button. Resume button. 100 resume button. 101 Dalmatians graphic. Black. O. N. Goldway. G. Ultra Jaws Home Use. Options. Voices submenu. Menu. Language. Help. A. Ma. Use. Me. Context. Read. Nav. Script manager. Frame viewer. Dictionary. Keyboard. Map. Settings. Set. Sound card. Windows default sound card. Speakers. Logitech. Free Logitech wireless headset. S.
In animation, light gray spots appear on a textured gray background. A black dot draws an outline of a dog. Other black dots draw more dogs and puppies. The dots explode across the dogs, giving them all black spots. Gray spots appear on a textured gray. In animation, light gray spots appear on a textured gray background. A black dot draws an outline of a dog. Other black dots draw more dogs and puppies. The dots explode across the dogs, giving them all black spots, ears, and noses. Our view pulls back to show dozens of Dalmatians. A title appears in red letters, 101 Dalmatians. Sitting alone, a Dalmatian wearing a collar wags its tail. We zoom in on one of its spots. Spots decorate a white background as credits appear. White dog fur forms a background for black dots. The dots become notes on a scrolling music staff. A black dot becomes the nose of a Dalmatian. Lines draw out the dog's head. It smiles and sticks out its tongue. Three rows of identical Dalmatians run across strips of white. The dogs stop to scratch behind their ears, then continue running. A gray streak draws out a black and white scene. A Dalmatian sits on the sidewalk. The dog watches a second Dalmatian who looks over the top of a tall brick wall. As the second dog walks away, the gray streak draws out more of the sidewalk. A Dalmatian sits with its leash tied to a phone booth. Color seeps across the image, leaving only the two dogs in black and white. A red double-decker bus goes by. It returns, going the other direction. A Dalmatian gets on and looks out the bus window. On a river near a large clock tower, a boat emerges from under a bridge. It blows black dots of exhaust out of its smokestack. An aerial view shows the river winding through a city. Fade to black. In an apartment, a Dalmatian leans its head on the sill of an open window. A man plays piano.
My story begins in London, not so very long ago. And yet so much has happened since then that it seems more like an eternity. At that time, I lived with my pet in a bachelor flat just off Regent's Park. It was a beautiful spring day, tedious time of the year for bachelors. Oh, that's my pet, Roger Radcliffe. A musician of sorts. I'm the one with the spots. My name's Pongo. And you know, as far as I could see, the old notion that a bachelor's life was so glamorous and carefree was all nonsense. It was downright dull.
On a cushioned window seat, Pongo scratches his ear and stretches. He lies down and stares glumly at Roger. Sheet music lies around the messy apartment.
It was plain to see that my old pet needed someone. But if it were left up to Roger, we'd be bachelors forever. He was married to his work, writing songs. Songs about romance, of all things. Something he knew absolutely nothing about.
Roger concentrates, then smiles briefly as he plays.
Oh, he's intelligent enough, as humans go. And I think you could say Roger is a rather handsome animal in his way. I could see no reason why my pet didn't deserve an attractive mate. At least, I was determined to do my best.
Pongo eyes a magazine.
Of course, dogs are a pretty poor judge of human beauty.
It shows a woman in a bathing suit.
But I had a rough idea of what to look for.
On the sidewalk, a woman in glasses walks a dog.
Unusual breed?
The woman and dog look similar.
Very unusual.
They have identical long hair and bangs.
Surely not.
Pongo shakes his head.
Well now, what have we here?
A stout woman walks a pug.
Well, a little too short couple.
They hold their noses in the air.
Nope. I say. Oh, well, I do say. Now there's a fancy breed.
A prim woman walks her poodle.
Perhaps a little too fancy. Yes, as much too fancy.
A dog rides in a bicycle basket.
Too old. Too young.
A girl with a puppy licks a lollipop.
It was a problem. A real problem.
Pongo's eyes widen as a Dalmatian passes.
Well, now that's a bit more like it. The most beautiful creature on four legs. Oh, now, if only the girl...
He looks at a woman.
Well, she's very lovely, too. It was almost too good to be true. I'd never find another pair like that, not if I looked for 100 years.
Pongo looks out a round window on the staircase.
You're heading for the park. A perfect meeting place. If I could only arrange it. But Roger never stopped work till after 5. It'd be too late.
Pongo nudges the clock hand with his nose. He moves it from about 4:35 to nearly 5:15. With a leash in his mouth, he puts his paws on the door. Roger looks at the clock and stretches.
After 5 already.
He looks at his wristwatch, then puts it to his ear.
Fancy that. All right, Pongo. All right, boy.
Pongo paws at the door. As Roger puts on a coat, Pongo gives him a hat. The dog jumps around, then stands on his back legs. Roger attaches the leash to his collar. Pongo opens the door with his nose. The leash around Roger's wrist pulls him out the door. In the park, Pongo pulls on the leash and looks around intently.
Pongo boy, take it easy. What's all the hurry?
Pongo stops short and Roger nearly runs into him. On a bench, the woman with the pug knits. Pongo tugs Roger forward.
Oh, Pongo boy, slow down.
They cross a bridge. With her long-haired dog beside her, the woman in glasses paints by the water. Pongo watches. He crosses behind Roger, twisting the leash around him. Roger spins in a circle as the leash pulls him away.
At first, I was afraid we'd miss them. Perhaps they passed on by the park. Then suddenly, I spotted them. It was a perfect situation if I planned it right. I couldn't depend on Roger. I knew what he'd do. He'd settle down on the grass and puff his pipe, and that'd be it. No, it was all up to me. Well...
Pongo swallows. With his nose in the air, he leads Roger past the female Dalmatian. The slender woman sits on a bench reading a book. She glances after them, then continues reading. The Dalmatian turns her head and watches them. Roger and Pongo sit under a tree by the nearby pond. Pongo looks back, and the other Dalmatian quickly averts her gaze.
Well, now, at first, I had no particular plan. Just anything to attract attention. You know, stir things up a bit.
Pongo steals Roger's hat and holds it playfully in his mouth.
Pongo, you silly old thing! Come on! Come on, let's have it going. Pongo!
The woman glances over, then looks down at her book. The Dalmatian eyes them.
Pongo!
Roger gives Pongo a stern look. Smiling, Pongo drops the hat on the bench.
Well, for a while it seemed to work. At least they'd seen one another. Things were going along first rate.
Pongo stares in shock.
Well, for some strange reason, they left.
Roger tackles him and puts him on a leash.
Now, come on, you old renegade. We're going home.
But I wasn't giving up. I was determined that somehow they just had to meet.
Pongo wraps his leash around the woman and Roger, trapping their legs together.
Oh, I beg your pardon. I'm so sorry. Please excuse me.
I must say, what on earth?
Oh, dear.
Oh, really? Oh, good heavens.
The other Dalmatian bites the woman's jacket as she stumbles. It rips, and the woman and Roger fall in the pond. They sit up, their clothes drenched. Pongo pops out of the water next to the woman's hat.
My new spring suit and my new hat.
I'm terribly sorry.
Pongo picks up her hat.
Please let me help you. Oh, I'm so sorry, Pongo. I don't know what's come over him. I'm terribly sorry. I'm so sorry. He's never acted this way before.
Never mind. Please, just go away. You've done enough. Please.
She holds a wet handkerchief.
Take mine.
Roger offers a larger wet handkerchief. They both laugh. Pongo smiles at them. Roger wrings out the handkerchief. Pongo looks at the other Dalmatian, who bats her eyes and smiles. Pongo smiles back at her. In a church, Roger and the woman stand before a minister. They wear simple clothing.
Wilt thou love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, keep thee only unto her, so long as ye both shall live?
I will.
Pongo and the Dalmatian nuzzle noses.
For the first 6 months or so, we lived in a small house near the park. A modest little place, but just right for two couples who were just starting out.
Pongo leans on a windowsill. The other Dalmatian rests her head on him.
Perdita, darling, are you all right?
Oh, of course, dear. After all, dogs were having puppies long before our time.
Perdita licks Pongo's nose. A woman enters.
Oh, that's Nanny. A wonderful cook and housekeeper. She's such a kind, understanding soul.
She sets down a tea tray.
You know, at times she seems almost canine.
Roger, dear. Tea time. Tea time.
In an upstairs room, Roger sits surrounded by musical instruments.
Be down in a minute.
Nanny pounds the ceiling with a broom. Roger descends the stairs.
Dum da da dee, da dum da da dum.
Do you like my new song?
Ta-tum-ti-ta-tum. Such clever lyrics.
Oh, melody first, my dear, and then the lyrics, hmm?
Roger and his wife rub noses. Pongo and Perdita rest their heads on the windowsill. Perdita sits up.
Oh, Pongo. It's her. It's that devil woman.
A long, fancy car careens around a corner. It stops in front of the house. Perdita hides.
Oh, must be Cruella, your dearly devoted old schoolmate. Cruella de Vil. That's it.
Cruella de Vil, Cruella de Vil. If she doesn't scare you, no evil thing will.
Oh,
to
Roger.
See her is to take a sudden chill. Cruella, Cruella, she's like a spider waiting for the kill.
Roger, look, she'll hear you.
Cruella de Vil.
Roger goes upstairs.
Let her in, Nanny.
Anita, darling.
How are you?
Miserable, darling, as usual. Perfectly wretched.
Pongo shies away from Cruella.
Where are they? Where are they?
With half black, half white hair, Cruella looks around. She wears a long fur coat.
For heaven's sakes, where are they?
Who, Cruella? I don't...
The puppies, the puppies.
Roger plays trumpet.
No time for games. Where are the little brutes?
Pongo scowls.
Oh, it'll be at least 3 weeks. No rushing these things, you know.
Anita, you're such a wit. Here, dog. Here. Here, dog.
Cruella, isn't that a new fur coat?
My only true love, darling. I live for furs. I worship furs.
Pongo hides behind a couch.
After all, is there a woman in all this wretched world who doesn't?
Cruella glares at the ceiling. Upstairs, Roger aims a trombone at the floor.
Oh, I'd like a nice fur, but there are so many other things.
Sweet, simple Anita. I know. This horrid little house is your dream castle. And poor Roger is your bold and fearless Sir Galahad.
Cruella bows.
Oh, Cruella.
And then, of course, you have your little spotted friends. Ah, yes. Yes, I must say, such perfectly beautiful coats.
Won't you have some tea, Cruella?
Now, I've got to run, darling. Now, let me know when the puppies arrive. You will, won't you, dear?
Yes, Cruella.
Now, don't forget, it's a promise. See you in 3 weeks. Cheerio. Cheerio, darling.
She leaves, and Anita slumps on the couch.
Oh.
Roger mimics Cruella.
At first you think Cruella is a devil, but after time has worn away the shock, you come to realize you've seen her kind of eyes watching you from underneath a rock.
You're no help,
Roger. This vampire Raj. Bat, this inhuman beast, she ought to be locked up and never released. The world was such a wholesome place until Cruella, Cruella de Vil.
Roger kisses Anita's cheek.
Oh, Roger, you are an idiot.
In the kitchen, Pongo finds Perdita hiding under the stove.
Perdy?
That witch, that devil woman, she wants our puppies. That's all she's after.
Oh, don't worry, Perdy. They're on to her. Nothing's going to happen to our puppies.
What does she want with them? She can't possibly love them. Oh, Pongo. I was so happy at first, but now I... Oh, I wish we weren't having any.
Pongo crawls next to Perdita and licks her cheek. Fade to black. At night, rain falls and lightning flashes. A light shines in Roger and Anita's house, while the other houses remain dark.
Poor Perdita. Of course, she had no choice. The puppies arrived right on schedule. One wild and stormy night in October.
In the kitchen, Pongo and Roger watch a closed door. Pongo tilts his head. He glances at Roger, then listens to the door. Pongo backs away as Nanny steps through. He smiles with his tongue hanging out. Manny takes a towel and leaves. Pongo's smile fades. He puts his ear to the closed door. Pongo looks back at Roger, who wears a distant, wide-eyed stare. Pongo licks his hand, and Roger startles. He pats Pongo's head.
Steady, boy.
The puppies are here! Oh, the puppies are here!
How many?
Eight.
Eight?
Roger dances with Pongo.
By George, Pongo! Eight puppies!
Ten!
Eleven!
Eleven!
Eleven? 11 puppies, Pongo boy!
Wait a minute. 13! No, 14!
Pongo grins dizzily.
Oh, 15!
15!
And the mother's doing fine, love. Oh, you ducky thing, you.
15 puppies? Why, Pongo boy, that's marvelous! It's fabulous! Why, you old rascal.
14.
Nanny holds a cloth.
Just 14. We lost one. Oh, poor little thing.
She gives the small bundle to Roger, who looks sadly at Pongo.
Oh, Pongo boy. It's just one of those things.
Pongo's ears droop sadly.
And yet I wonder.
Roger rubs his hand over the small bundle. Pongo puts his paw on Roger's knee and watches expectantly. Roger continues rubbing. Pongo's hopeful expression fades. A tiny puppy sticks its pink nose out of the cloth.
Look, Pongo.
Pongo smiles and gently taps noses with the puppy.
Anita! Nanny! 15! We still have 15!
Oh, Roger, he's all right, thank heaven.
See? He's just as good as new.
Can you imagine, Rog? 15 puppies.
Cruella enters.
15? 15 puppies. How marvelous, how marvelous, how perfectly. Oh, the devil take it, they're mongrels. No spots at all. What a horrid little white rat. They're not mongrels. They'll get their spots. Just wait and see.
That's right, Cruella. They'll have their spots in a few weeks.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll take them all, the whole litter. Just name your prize, dear.
I'm afraid we can't give them up. Poor Perdita, she'd be heartbroken.
Anita, don't be ridiculous. You can't possibly afford to keep them. You can scarcely afford to feed yourselves.
Oh, well, I'm sure we'll get along.
Yes, I know. Roger's songs.
Roger and Pongo scowl. Cruella tries to write a check.
Well, now, really, enough of this nonsense. I'll pay you twice what they're worth. Come now, I'm being more than generous. Blast this pen! Blast this wretched, wretched pen!
Cruella shakes her pen, squirting ink on Roger and Pongo.
When can the puppies leave their mother? 2 weeks? 3 weeks?
Never.
She stares at Roger.
What?
We're not selling the puppies. Not a single one. Do you understand?
Why, Anita, is he serious? I really don't know, Roger.
Well, Cruella, he seems to...
Oh, surely he must be joking.
No, I mean it. You're not getting one. Not one. And that's final.
Pongo nods.
Why, you horrid man. You... All right. Keep the little beast for all I care. Do what you like with him. Drown them. But I warn you, Anita, we're through. I'm through with all of you. I'll get even. Just wait. You'll be sorry. You fools! You idiots!
Pongo looks out the door's broken window.
Oh, Roger, you were magnificent, darling.
Oh, he was a bloomin' hero, Mum. Indeed he was. A bloomin' hero.
In the basement, Perdita lies on a blanket and pillows.
Purdy, darling? Purdy, we're keeping the puppies, every single one of them. My old pet Roger, he told that devil woman off. He told her off, Purdy. She's gone. Oh, darling, she's gone for good.
Oh, Pongo.
Pongo lays his head next to hers. The tiny, spotless puppies nurse, while others lie nearby. Fade to black. On TV, a horse rider shoots behind him at a dog. The dog chases him through a desert.
Come on, Thunderbolt! Come on, Thunderbolt!
Pongo, Perdita, and the now spotted puppies watch with rapt attention. The puppies wear either a red or blue collar.
Go get him, Thunder! After him, boy! He'll get that dirty old horse thief. Old Thunderbolt's the greatest dog in the whole world. He's even better than Dad. No dog's better than Dad.
Pongo smiles.
What's he going to do, Dad?
Shh. Let's just wait and see, huh?
Thunderbolt looks over boulders. Three puppies stand on a chair as they watch.
Look at him run, the old coward. That old dirty Dawson, the yellow-livered old skunk. I like to tear his gizzard out.
Why, Patch, where did you ever hear such talk? Certainly not from your mother.
Perdita glares at Pongo, who smiles weakly. On TV, Dawson aims a gun at Thunderbolt.
Watch out, Thunder. Don't worry, Penny. He'll get that yellow liver.
Patch looks at Perdita.
Well, he'll get him all right.
Lucky, Lucky, get down. We can't see you. Get down.
Mother, make him get down.
Come on, Lucky, down, dear.
Lucky takes his paws off the TV and sits.
Missed him. Missed him by a mile.
A puppy sits on Pongo's head. Thunderbolt jumps a ravine.
I'm hungry, Mother. I'm hungry.
Now, Rolly, you've just had your dinner.
But I am just the same. I'm so hungry I could eat a whole elephant. There he is behind that rock.
Dawson readies his gun. The puppy's stuck.
Oh, dear. He shot poor Thunder.
He missed him. Oh, Thunder's pretending. I think.
The three puppies lean on the chair armrest. Lying on the ground, Thunderbolt opens one eye.
See, what did I tell you? It's one of his tricks.
Lucky, get down.
Dawson's face scares Lucky, who scampers away from the TV. Thunderbolt attacks. He and Dawson roll to the edge of a cliff. The puppies bark angrily at the TV. The one on Pongo's head blocks his view. Dawson and Thunderbolt drop into a river.
I'm hungry, Mother. I really am.
Thunderbolt and Dawson float toward a waterfall.
Don't miss next week's exciting episode. Who will triumph?
Old Thunder always wins.
And speaking of champions, friends, Canine Crunchies is the champion of all dog biscuits.
Canine Crunchies can't be beat. They make each meal a special treat. Happy dogs are those who eat nutritious Canine Crunchies.
Purdy, we'd better get these little nippers off to bed if we're going for a W-A-L-K.
We want to go too, Mother.
Can we, Mother, can we?
We never get to go.
Come along, children. Bedtime.
But we're not a...
Patch yawns.
Bit sleepy. We want to go for a walk in the park.
Dad, can we?
Better do as your mother says.
Pongo nudges the puppy along.
One, two, three, four, five, six.
They follow their mother.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13.
I'm not sleepy. I'm hungry.
14.
Lucky watches TV.
Now remember, friends, just send five...
Oh, Lucky, little rascal. Let's go.
Pongo carries Lucky by the collar. At dusk, Pongo and Perdita walk through the neighborhood with Roger and Anita. Lights shine in some of the houses. The group crosses a street, passing a beat-up truck. Inside, two men read newspapers. As the four pass by, one of the men lowers his paper.
There they go, Horace, my lad. Out for their evening constitutional. Now, a lovely pair of turtle doves. Around the Johnny Orner and off to the park.
Yeah, I don't like it, Jasper.
One more pinch and they'll throw the keys away.
Oh, come off it, Horace. We're getting plenty of boodle.
Yes, but I've been thinking.
You've been thinking? Now, look here, Horace, I warned you about thinking. I've got the knob for this job, so let's get on with it.
Jasper starts the engine. The old truck bounces as it rolls over the cobblestones. Jasper parks outside Roger and Anita's house. The tall, lanky man gets out and approaches the sidewalk.
Nobody home but the little old cook. Well, now, you just leave her to old Jasper. He can handle her real diplomatic-like.
Yes, but I still don't like it.
Inside.
Here, dear. Now, Patch, you settle down.
Patch gets under a blanket with the other puppies.
Oh, dear. Go to sleep now. Close your little eyes. That's a good little one.
The men's tall and stout silhouettes darken the door window.
Who do you suppose?
Jasper tips his hat.
Good evening, ma'am. We're here to inspect the wiring and the switches.
We're from the gas company.
Electric.
Eh? Electric company.
No, but we didn't call for any inspection.
Oh, yes, ma'am, I know. You see, there's a new act just been passed in Parliament. It comes under the heading of the Defence of the Realm Act. It's Article 4, Section 29. It's very important. It's a law. And it's for your own safety, ma'am.
Well, I don't care what Parliament, Realm, or whatever it is says. You're not coming in here, not with the Mr. and the Mrs. gone.
Ah, now, come off it, ducky. We got no time to palaver. We got a job to do. Excuse me!
Jasper shoves inside.
What's the matter with you two? You got cloth ears? I said you're not coming in here.
Oh, she's a regular little tartar, ain't she, Horace?
Don't you dare go up there, you big long-legged lummox. Now, I mean it. If you don't get out of this house, I'll call the police, I will. Now be off with you, you big weasel.
Now you've been and gone and done it. You've cut me to the quick, lady. Why, I wouldn't stay here if you asked me to.
She throws a teapot.
Not even for a cup of tea. Oi, Horace, me lad, I've got a sneaky suspicion we're not welcome here. Pack up, we're leaving. And sharp's the word and quick's the action.
Let me out! Help! I'll call the police!
Jasper lets go of the door, causing Nanny to fly backward.
Good night, ducky. Ta-ta!
By those good-for-nothing hoodlums, electric company.
She looks out a window.
They're nothing but common sneak thieves.
The old truck swerves away. Nanny goes downstairs.
I'll bet they made off with the good silver. Well, I'll bet they took every last... Oh! The puppies! The puppies! They're gone! Patch! Lucky! Rowling! Oh, they took the puppies! Oh, whatever will I do? Those scoundrels, they stole the puppies! Police! Help! The puppies! Police! Somebody help me! Help! Help! Help!
A newspaper headline reads, Dog Napping.
Dog napping? Can you imagine such a thing? 15 puppies stolen.
A photo shows the puppies.
They are darling little things.
In bed, Cruella reads.
Anita and her... and her bashful Beethoven. Pipe and all. Oh, Roger, you are a fool.
Cruella answers a demon-shaped phone.
Hello. Jasper. Jasper, you idiot. How dare you call here?
But we don't want no more of this here. We want our boodle.
We'll settle for half.
Not one shilling till the job's done.
Jasper.
You understand?
Jasper.
But it's here in the blinking papers. Pictures and all.
Hang the papers. It'll be forgotten tomorrow.
I don't like it, Jasper.
Shut up, you idiot.
What?
Oh, no. Not you, miss. I mean, Horace here.
Why, you imbecile.
Cruella hangs up the phone and taps her pointy chin. She dials a call. At home, Pongo lies on a cushion with his head on newspapers. Other papers litter the floor. He runs to the phone. Roger answers it.
Scotland Yard. Maybe they found something. Hello? Hello, Inspector?
Is Anita there?
Who?
Anita!
Oh, it's for you.
Hello? Anita, darling!
Oh, Cruella.
Oh, Anita, what a dreadful thing. I just saw the papers. I couldn't...
Yes, Cruella, it was quite a shock.
What does she want? Is she calling to confess?
Roger, please.
Oh, she's a sly one, she
yes,
is.
Yes, yes, we're doing everything possible. Yes, we called Scotland Yard, but I'm afraid...
Where are they?
You idiot.
Anita!
Oh, sorry, Cruella. Oh, yes, if there's any news, we'll let you know. Thank you, Cruella. Roger, I admit she's eccentric, but she's not a thief.
Well, she's still number one suspect in my book.
Well, she's been investigated by Scotland Yard. What more do you want?
Oh, I don't know, darling. I don't know.
Oh, Rog, what'll we do? What'll we do?
Pongo sadly leaves the room. He finds Perdita in a dark closet near the puppy's bed.
Ready? I'm afraid it's all up to us.
Oh, Pongo. Isn't there any hope?
Well, yes. There's the twilight bark.
Twilight Bark? But, dear, that's only a gossip chain.
Darling, it's the very fastest way to send news. And if our puppies are anywhere in the city, the London dogs will know. Now we'll send the word tonight when our pets take us for a walk in the park.
The group stands on a hill overlooking the city. Pongo barks. He raises one of his ears.
There's no one out tonight. I'm afraid it's too cold.
We've got to keep trying, Purdy.
Pongo perks up an ear. He smiles at Perdita.
Purdy, we're in luck. It's the Great Dane at Hampstead.
Roger yanks on Pongo's leash.
Pongo, quiet boy. You want to stir up the whole neighborhood? Come on, Pongo.
Purdy, come on.
Let's go, boy.
Pongo resists.
Idiot.
He tugs at the leash, pulling Roger behind him.
Come on now, we're going home.
In a yard outside a stately mansion, a Great Dane stands alert. A small, long-haired dog scampers outside. It runs off a porch and under the Great Dane's legs.
What is it, Danny? Who's on the telegraph?
It's Pongo. Regent's Park. It's an all-dog alert.
What's it all about? What's the word? Tell me, Danny. Tell me.
Wait a minute.
The small dog runs to an iron fence and looks out between the posts.
Well, now. That is something.
What, Danny? What something?
15 Dalmatian puppies. Stolen.
Have they called the police? Scotland Yard?
The humans have tried everything. Now it's up to us dogs. The twilight bark.
I'll sound the alert.
The little dog slides off a stone pillar. On a patio, a schnauzer leaves the doghouse and listens. The dog barks into a gutter downspout. In an upper room of a house, the long-haired dog sits with a woman in glasses as she paints. The dog leans out a window and looks down the gutter pipe.
Prissy, come in here!
The woman pulls Prissy inside. Prissy knocks over an easel and pokes her head out of window shutters. In a pet shop window, puppies bark along with an older bulldog. A chauffeur drives past in a fancy car. The prim woman's poodle barks from the roof of the car. Her owner looks up at her. Other dogs bark on a street lit by neon signs. One sign advertises Canine Crunchies. Our view rises above the city to show the distant river. A full moon hangs in the sky. The city fades away to a farm in the countryside. A dog stands in silhouette on a hill near a barn. It barks toward a field. The moonlight glistens on a river's surface. A dog barks from atop a tugboat. A bloodhound on a grassy hilltop watches the tugboat in the distance. He sits. A goose walks up behind him.
Pelzer, what's going on? What is it? What's all the gossip?
Tain't no gossip, Lucy.
It'd be all the way from London.
You don't say.
15 puppies stolen.
Well, there's no puppies around here. Not since Nellie's last litter. And they're all grown up.
Well, then, we'd best send the word along. It'd be up to me to reach the colonel. He'd be the only one in barking range.
Oh, you'll never reach him at this hour.
Well, I can try. I'll bark all night if I have to.
Towser barks at a house far across the river. A long driveway leads to a gated entrance. Part of the gate sign reads, Major General S.F. Smedley. In a barn, a gray horse pokes his head out a window.
Sounds like old Towser. It's an alert. Sergeant.
A cat sleeps.
Sergeant Tibbs. I say, Sergeant!
The cat jumps.
What? Oh, yes, Captain.
Barking signal. It's an alert. Report to the colonel at once.
Yes, sir. Righto, sir. Right away, sir.
Tibbs jumps up on a beam, then down to a pile of hay.
Colonel. I say, Colonel. Colonel, sir. Colonel. Colonel!
A sheepdog emerges.
What? Who goes there?
Sergeant Tibbs reporting, sir.
Tibbs? Oh, yes, Sergeant Tibbs.
Colonel, sir.
Now, look here, Tibbs. What's the idea of barging in at this hour of the night?
But, Colonel...
Hold on, Sergeant. You hear that?
The Colonel lifts his ear.
Sounds like an alert.
Yes, Colonel.
Well, we better look into it. Come along, Tibbs, on the double.
Yes, sir. Righto, sir.
Tibbs and the Colonel join Captain.
It's old Towser down at Withermarsh, sir.
By Jove, yes. So it is. Well, I'll see what he wants.
Our view travels over the fields under the full moon. Across the river, Moosey holds Towser's long ear open with her beak.
It be the colonel. The old boy himself. He wants the message.
You'd better make it loud and clear, or he'll never get it.
In the barn, the colonel, captain, and Tibbs tilt their heads.
One long howl, two short, one yip and woof.
Two yips, sir.
What's the word, colonel?
It's from London.
Then it must be important.
Yes, yes. Well, I'll get the rest of it.
The colonel barks. They tilt their heads and lift their ears for the reply.
Sounds like a number. 3 5s of 13.
That's 15, sir.
15? Of course, 15. Yes, dot, spotted puddings, poodles. No, puddles.
Puddles, sir?
15 spotted puddles stolen. Oh, balderdash.
Captain and Tibbs share a look.
Better double check it, Colonel.
Oh, yes, I suppose I better. Two woofs, one yip and a woof.
It sounds like puppies, sir.
Of course, puppies.
Colonel, sir, I just remembered. Two nights past, I heard puppy barking over at Hell Hall.
You mean the old Deville place? Nonsense, Tibbs. No one's lived there for years.
Hold on. There's smoke coming from the chimney.
By Jove, strange. Strange indeed. Well, I suppose we'd better investigate. I'll send word for old Towser to stand by.
Please stand by.
What do you mean by that?
Don't know. Maybe the old boy's found something.
Oh, I do hope so.
Lucy wags her tail. Tibbs sits on the colonel's back as they approach a large gated entrance.
They say the old place is haunted or bewitched or some such fiddle-faddle.
Fiddle-faddle and rot, sir.
Just the same, Sergeant. Use extreme caution. No telling what sort of hocus-pocus you might run into.
Tibbs swallows hard.
Well, blast it all, Tibbs. On the double, man. On the double.
Yes, sir. Righto, sir. Right away, sir.
Tibbs climbs along a tree branch and leaps over the wall. He climbs across the branches of another tree until he reaches a window of the large old house. Tibbs jumps to the sill, struggling as part of it crumbles away. He wipes dust off the window. Inside, a suit of armor collects cobwebs at its feet. At the end of a hall, light shines through a hole near a doorway. Tibbs pushes the window and it swings open. He clings to the window frame, then drops to the floor. The cat peers through the hole in the wall. He climbs into the room. Hiding behind furniture, he spots a Dalmatian puppy yawning.
Psst. Rover. Spotty.
What?
Are you one of the 15 stolen puppies?
Oh, no, we're not stolen. We're bought and paid for. There's 99 of us all together.
Tibbs rubs his eyes.
99?
All around the room, Dalmatian puppies sleep on the floor, tables, and furniture.
How about that bunch of little ones? They have names and colors. They're not from the pet shops.
15 of them.
We never counted them. They're over there by the TV.
A TV shows dancing flowers. The puppies with red and blue collars watch. Lucky puts his paws on the TV.
And I'd better count them.
Watch out for the bad ones.
Bad ones?
Those two blokes, Horace and Jasper. They're mean ones, they are.
Horace eats a sandwich. Lying on a couch, Jasper drinks from a bottle. He sets it on a wooden crate behind the couch. Tibbs sits beside the bottle.
Hey, look, Horace! Watch me Potty's lordship smack on the conk.
Jasper throws a dart at a portrait.
How's that for calling him, eh?
Tibbs counts the puppies as Jasper swigs from the bottle.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Hey, Jasper! Come on now! Just a short one.
Now, Horace, this here ongwash ain't fit for a fancy bloke like yourself. Besides, you get crumbs in it, you cabbage head.
Jasper sets down his drink.
All right. Guzzle the old work tonight. Out they give you collie wobbles. That's what.
Rolly steals meat from the sandwich. Horace bites into only bread.
Hey, Jasper. Did you...
He shows Jasper.
6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Hey! Get down, you little runt, and stay down.
Horace pushes Lucky off the TV. Patch barks.
Gone! Get out of here, or I'll hack your other people.
Oh, dear. Where was I? 9, 9, 3 more. 12, and 1, 2, 3. That's 15. They're the ones.
Jasper picks up Tibbs instead of the bottle.
Hey, Horace, look what we got. A tabby cat.
Tibbs knocks a piano lid down on Horace. Jasper throws darts at Tibbs.
How'd you like a tabby cat stew? Or a cat casserole?
Tibbs flees.
A la mode.
Jasper hurls the bottle. Tibbs escapes through the hole in the wall. Fade to black. Fog hangs around the tall clock tower. An aerial view shows rooftops and streetlights in the mist. In Roger and Anita's house, a light shines in the upper floor window. Pongo looks out and lifts his ear.
What is it, Pongo? What is it?
Shh! It's the Great Dane. He has news for us. He'll meet us at Primrose Hill.
How will we get out?
The back bedroom window. It's always open a wee bit. Come on!
On a foggy hilltop, Pongo and Perdita join Danny.
Pongos, you've made it. Good.
What's the word? What's the news?
Have they found our puppies?
They've been located somewhere north of here, in Suffolk.
Oh, thank heaven.
Can you leave tonight?
Yes, of course.
We can leave right away.
Good. I'll go along with you as far as Camden Road and give you instructions.
The three dogs run out of the park. Barges sit anchored along the river. The dogs cross a bridge overhead.
And when you reach Withermarsh, contact old Towser. He'll direct you to the Colonel, and the Colonel will take you to your puppies at the DeVille place.
DeVille?
The DeVille place?
Oh, Pongo, it was her.
Oh, someone you know?
Sorry, sir. There's no time to explain.
Pongo and Perdita run through a tunnel.
Oh, I hope we're not too late.
Good luck, Pongo. If you lose your way, contact the barking chain. They'll be standing by.
Soft yellow light shines through dark clouds in the sky. Pongo runs across grassy hills dotted with trees. He pauses and Perdita catches up to him. They continue running. Snow falls on a dirt road. The dogs splash through puddles and leap over a wooden fence. As they cross an icy road, a truck swerves to avoid them. Amid rocks and reeds, the dogs struggle across a stream. The wind blows snow over a hillside. Pongo and Perdita leap through deep snowdrifts as they descend. A rushing, icy river reflects red sunlight on the horizon. Pongo trots up to the bank, then looks back at Perdita. They study the swiftly moving water carrying chunks of snow. Pongo steps into the water, then begins to paddle. With a frightened expression, he swims against the current. Perdita looks around the bank. She leaps into the river and paddles upstream. Fade to black. Outside their barn, Tibbs and the Colonel sit on a snow-covered hay wagon. The Colonel raises his ear, and Tibbs tilts his head. Captain looks out the barn window.
Any news, Colonel? Not a blasting thing. They're lost or captured or something or other. Who knows what?
Colonel, sir! Colonel! Here comes a car!
Oh, come now, Tibbs. Don't be ridiculous. They wouldn't be driving.
Yes, I know, sir. But it's heading for Hell Hall.
Cruella's long car passes.
It's stopping at the gate!
It is? Well, blast it all, Tibbs. Better see what's up. On the double, man! On the double!
Yes, sir!
The Colonel leaves with Tibbs.
Take over, Captain! Righto, sir.
In Hell Hall, Horace and Jasper watch TV. Cruella paces behind them.
I'm sorry, Mr. Simpkins. The answer is no. No, 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 no. Six down, four to go.
Right, I've got Inspector. No time to
what
argue. I tell you, it's got to be done tonight.
Of it must be a yes or no question, Inspector.
Do you understand? Tonight!
But they ain't big enough. You couldn't get half a dozen coats out of the old caboodle.
Coats? Dogskin? Coats? Then we'll settle for half a dozen. We can't wait. The police are everywhere. I want the job done tonight.
Are we gonna do it?
Any way you like. Poison them, drown them, bash them in the head. You got any chloroform?
Not a drop.
And no ether. Either.
Either.
I don't care how you kill the little beast, but do it! And do it now!
Oh, please, miss, now have pity, will you? Can't we see the rest of the show first?
We want to see what's my crime.
Cruella throws Jasper's bottle into the fireplace. The bottle explodes and the puppies hide. Cruella slaps the two men.
Now listen, you idiots. I'll be back first thing in the morning. And the job better be done or I'll call the police. Do you understand?
She slams the door and a crack grows above it. The crack spreads across the ceiling. Plaster falls on Horace's head.
I think she means it, Jasper.
Yeah. We'll get on with it as soon as the show's over.
Jasper turns the TV back on.
Will you please sign in, sir?
Tibbs crouches among the puppies.
Hey, kids, you better get out of here if you want to save your skins.
But how?
Shh. There's a hole in the wall. There by the door. Come on, shake a leg. Psst, kids, follow me.
Hey, Jasper, look. It's old Meathead.
Yes. Hey, what do you know? Old Meathead Fauntswater.
Come on now, don't crowd.
The puppies climb through the hole.
One at a time, one at a time.
Now for our last contestant this evening, panel, meet Mr. Percival Fauntswater. Now, Mr. Fauntswater, if the panel fails to guess your unusual crime in 10 questions, you will receive 2 weeks vacation at a fashionable seaside resort, all expenses paid. That is, of course, after you paid your debt to society.
The show contestant's smile fades.
Now, who will take the first question? Inspector?
Mr. Fauntswater, could your crime be classified as larceny, theft, you know,
string out.
Burglary of some sort?
Form a queue along the wall. Crew. Come on, snap it out faster.
Mr. Fauntswater is a burglar by trade, but in this case his crime was not burglary. I'm sorry, the answer is no. One down, nine to go. Miss Birdwell?
If your crime wasn't robbery, well then did you...
As the men watch TV, Tibbs continues lining up the puppies by the hole.
Violent nature. No, that is...
Oh, come, Miss Birdwell, we're running short of time.
Oh,
Oh, yes, of course, so sorry. Did you do someone in?
Oh, no, Miss Birdwell, I'm sorry. The answer
is no. Dib spots Lucky watching TV. No. He crawls closer.
Oh, yes. Your crime was not robbery and not homicide.
Lucky looks at Tibbs, then turns back to the TV. As Tibbs reaches for Lucky's tail, the puppy puts his front paws on the TV.
No, the answer is
hey,
no.
Hey, get out of the way, you little runt.
Horace hands Lucky to Jasper, who throws the puppy behind him. Tibbs catches him and slips on metal cans. Lucky flies through the hole. Tibbs pushes Rolly, whose belly gets stuck in the hole.
I'm terribly sorry. I'm afraid we've run out of time.
Now, ain't that always the way?
Would it be possible for Mr. Fauntswater to come back next week? Then we could finish our little game. Good night, audience. See you next week at this same time on What's My Crime?
Jasper stretches.
Oh, well. Oh, come on, Horace. Let's get on with it.
Tibbs pushes Rolly.
I'll pop him on the head. You do the skinning.
Oh, no, you don't, Jasper. I'll pop him off and you do the skinning.
Rolly and Tibbs pop through the hole.
Hey, Horace, look. They're gone. They flew the coop right out through this little hole. Here, grab a torch. We'll run them down before you can say Bob's your uncle.
In the dark hall, the men search with flashlights. The puppies climb a staircase. Rolly lags behind.
There they go, Horace. Up the stairs.
Jasper holds a fireplace poker.
Yeah, puppies.
Rolly runs upstairs and the two men follow.
Yeah, puppies, come on. Now, don't go hiding from your old Uncle Jasper.
Horace wields a broken off chair leg.
Oh, I ain't gonna hurt you.
But I thought we was gonna pop them all.
Shut up. Now take a squint in there and I'll check these other two rooms.
Jasper searches a bedroom.
Yeah, puppies. Puppies, come on out. Come out wherever you are. Horace!
The puppies run.
It's that mangy tabby cat. He's the ringleader. Head him off, Horace. Head him off.
The men run into each other and tumble down the stairs. Rolly cowers.
Oh, you bungling blockhead.
The puppies hide under the steps.
Back here, back here.
The colonel looks in a window.
Here they come.
Double-crossing little twerps. Pulling a snitch on us, and after we took care of them all this time. There's gratitude for you.
It ain't fair, Jasper.
Rolly comes downstairs. Tibbs grabs his tail.
Hey, Horace, there they go.
Tibbs and the puppies run down a hall. The colonel watches.
Sergeant, I say sergeant.
Sorry, sir, no time to explain. Busy, sir.
The colonel hurries to another window. The puppies run into a room with Jasper and Horace close behind.
Shut that door, Horace.
Jasper shuts the second door.
We'll close in on him. There's enough of this ring around a Rosie.
In the snowy countryside, Pongo and Perdita stop at a fork in the road. Car tracks lead in both directions.
Oh, Pongo, Pongo, I'm afraid we're lost.
It can't be far.
The colonel turns his head.
By Jove, it can't be the Pongos.
He runs from the window, then slides face first across a frozen pond. He lands in a snowbank. The colonel pops up with snow on his head.
It's the colonel. Come on, this way.
Pongo and Perdita race through the snow. They find the colonel up to his neck in the snowbank.
Colonel? Are you the colonel?
Oh, you're a Pingo? Pongo?
Oh, puppies, are they all right?
No time to explain. I'm afraid there's trouble. Big hullabaloo. Come along. Oop. Follow me.
In a corner, Tibbs and the puppies cower from the two men.
Now we got them, Horace. They've run out of room.
Their parents crash inside.
Hey, what have we got here? A couple of spotted hyenas? Come on, Horace, old pal. Give them what for. I'm right behind you, lad.
Horace hits Jasper.
Oh, you clumsy clod.
Jasper kicks him.
Hey, gag man! Or I'll knock the spots off you. Let go!
Perdita bites Horace's pant leg. Jasper swings a chair, and Pongo jumps on him.
Well, by George!
A puppy barks. Jasper scowls, and the puppy scampers away. Jasper kicks Pongo against a wall.
Hey, you mangy mongrel!
Pongo shakes his head dizzily.
I'll knock your blinking block off!
He bites Jasper's rear end. The colonel looks through a hole in the door.
Blast him, Tibbs!
Go on, give them what for?
No, no, Colonel, retreat, retreat!
Yes, oh yes, of course, retreat! Retreat, on the double!
The puppies follow Tibbs and the Colonel to the front gate. Pretty Dead attacks Horace.
Help! Jasper! Jasper! Get me out of here!
Hey, Horace! They're fighting Daddy!
Pongo tears Jasper's suspenders. Jasper's pants fall to his ankles.